Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, I was, you know, just to start out, I was thinking about my mom. I mean, we all think about our moms, as you say. I say mom. And my mom is still alive up in Canada. She's 84 years old. And when I think about my mom, I think about her ironing a lot. Like a lot. Like underwear. My mom would iron underwear. Do any of you have moms that would iron underwear? Raise your hands. Don't be ashamed. I'm not sure why. Why would you do that? Because, you know, I'm just wondering. I think, and sheets. She would iron sheets. And then we would get up from wherever we were and had to help her fold them. So we'd take the ends. Maybe some of you have memories of this kind of thing. And so I'd hand the corners to her, and then she had to iron it again. And then, okay, get back up, and then take the other corner, you know, and each time she had to iron that. And, man, apparently that's why she had no problem with her linen closet like I always have, because do you ever have a hard time, especially those, like, what do they call them, like the fitted sheets? Like, how do you fold those things? Like, I'm just, by the end of it, I'm like, right? Yeah. I don't know. But I don't think they had those, because I just remember two straight sheets, and she would do the hospital corners. Yeah. Another thing that my mom did while she was ironing was watched sports. Now, some of you may not know what this is, so I asked the guys if they could put up a little video clip. Let's just enjoy this for a moment.
Take a look at some of the highlights. The first five ends here.
Same. Little hooky guys.
Whoa, last one for Kevin Cooey, as he's just looking to make the nose it to score one. The first end.
Note the Tim Hortons.
Had a blank in the second, and the third, Kevin Cooey failing to roll underneath the guard, leaving a pretty straightforward shot for Rasmus Dernan.
All right, that's good. You get
the
point.
He will make it to score two.
That's what my mom would watch while ironing. For those of you who aren't Canadian or European, that's called curling. And it's pretty big in Canada. And I'm just laughing, thinking, like, do they go out and buy, like, the sports team jerseys? Like, I support the Canadian curling team and, you know, the Tim Hortons. Don't you love that, James? Yeah, sponsored by Tim Hortons, as all good Canadian teams should be. So I just had to show you that, because when I see curling, not like I do a lot, but it reminds me of my mom. And I'm sure some of you have memories of your moms, and today I think of people who don't have their moms with them anymore, and that hurts my heart for them. But you know what? There's a lot of awesome memories you can have, and you can be that thing to somebody else. So anyway, we're going to start today. I think that part of, I love sports. I love football. I will sit and watch games, and I'm the only one in the family room, especially if the Packers are playing. I am the only Packer fan in my house, so I am surrounded by Vikings fans. Both of my married daughters married Vikings fans. I had hope that perhaps a Packer fan would marry into the family at least. Even my husband, he really has no interest in sitting and watching sports. And I think part of the reason I like sports is because of my mom. Because she sat and watched sports a lot. Actually, she stood and watched sports a lot as she ironed. Yeah. So anyway, recently the March Madness was on, and And I like basketball. I like it when my son was playing. I honestly don't sit through all the games, but when March Madness comes, I catch as many games as I can. I'm kind of like one of those, I like it when the playoffs come kind of girls. And so I just want to set this next clip up for you. This was the national championship game. It's just a short clip. And so I'm probably going to have them replay it just to forewarn you. Because it happens so fast, which is part of why I love basketball. It's not like golf. Like, seriously? Oh, my word. Oh, my word. If you're listening to the podcast, if they even record this, just, yeah. I was just demonstrating what they do. I can't take it. Basketball is quick, so this is going to happen really quick. But anyway, it was the NCAA championship game for the title. And Villanova is playing the team I was rooting for, the Tar Heels. And there's like 2 seconds left in this championship game that is tied. So let's watch what happens.
Going to go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt. Jenkins gives it to Jenkins for the championship. The national champions with Jenkins hitting the winner at the buzzer. Jim, they're going to
try. Yeah, yeah. All right, you can stop it and rewind it now. This is part of my message. We're not just going to watch sports clips all day. I'm not auditioning for ESPN, but it'd be fun to. But pause it right here. I want you to watch number 15, if you can see him up there. Okay, play it again.
With Archie Diacono.
That's him right there with the ball.
Jenkins gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. So I promise you the next day, nobody was talking about number 15. They were all talking about Chris Jenkins, the one that made that three-pointer. Right? Because that's like glory moment. And honestly, even though I was really wanting the Tar Heels to win so bad, you got to kind of be happy for them. I mean, that was pretty amazing, right? And unbelievable. Kind of like some of those Hail Mary passes from Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, it just, you know, it's kind of like, wow. So, but I kind of looked up that guy, number 15. His name is Ryan, and his last name starts with A, and it's really long and hard to pronounce, so I'm not going to slaughter his name. But I thought, he's the guy that interests me in this story. Because he's the guy, the point guard, I think they call them, that actually took it up court, right? Had to dribble through some stuff, some obstacles, had to have some pretty good skill, right? And passes it off to the guy that's just waiting. And he shines. And I'll tell you, from the moment I saw that clip, son, you missed the basketball clip. You know which one it was, though, right? Villanova? Okay. But the moment I saw that, I thought, that Ryan, he's mothers. Go with the sports basketball terminology here, a little parallel. He's what moms do. They make the assist to set their kids up for those glory shots so that they can shine. And that's what my message is about today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each mother in this room. I thank you for those who maybe aren't mothers yet. Those who have lost their moms. Every situation, God, you know, you care. I pray that we have just that spirit of a mother. No matter if we're men or women, that heart to assist others to succeed. No matter if we get the glory or not. So now, Lord, as Sam prayed earlier, I do pray that I hide behind the cross this morning so that you get the glory, so that hearts are drawn to you. As you are lifted up, you draw all men unto yourself, and I pray that this morning for your glory and for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. So, you know, it is a Mother's Day message, but I do think that it can pertain to everybody. But excuse me while I use the mother analogy a lot today. I call what that Ryan did, it's kind of the things that are the unseen. Lately, I think maybe because it's because all my kids are adults now, I've been receiving emails or little comments like, could you write a book, or could you just give me some pointers? And it's kind of like I tell Randy and we kind of laugh, because I just want to preface this by saying that Randy and I are not perfect parents. We have made mistakes. Our kids aren't perfect. Our kids have made mistakes. But I'm going to try to, in the best way that I can, explain to you what I think the most important keys to parenting are. And by the grace of God, we have kids who serve the Lord. I know wonderful Christian people who don't and never think that that's a measuring stick for you as a person, as a mom, that you've somehow failed as a person. It's not, because God gives us all a free will, right? So what I'm going to talk about today is my part in it. I can't control other people. I can't control my husband. Girls, don't marry a guy thinking you can change him. You know, I can't control my kids. I can't control my St. Bernard, that's for sure. You know, I mean, I really think a lot of motherhood is letting go and know that it's not in your control. But there are things that you can make choices about, that God's given you a free will about. I think a lot of the key to motherhood are the things that are unseen. It's not the flashy three-pointers that everybody stands up and cheers. And trust me, the world does not stand up and cheer for moms a lot of the time, except on Mother's Day. So it's good to have this day. It's not the recognized stuff. The world is going to tell you that, you know, the best dance lessons and the best clothes and making prom court and how popular your kids are. That stuff is just all smoke and mirrors for what really matters. And I'm not just saying that. And I'm not saying those things are bad. My kids took lessons. My kids were in sports, clubs, prom court. You know, I mean, those things happen, but those can't be where our focus is. We can't try to control the external to change the internal. The eternal plans trump earthly desires every day. And focusing on eternity as a parent is really important. Focusing on what matters for eternity for your kids and for yourself is really important. You know, that Ryan, he had to have some pretty amazing skills, and that didn't just happen by magic. I mean, I believe that most really good athletes, my all-time favorite, Wayne Gretzky, he had some God-given talent, right? I mean, he really did. If you never lived through watching him, I don't know, there's never been another like him. Yeah, it was awesome watching that kid grow up in Canada and do what he did. But I believe he had some God-given ability, but you know, he worked really hard. And I think in anything in life, you can have maybe, you know, a God-given ability for music, let's say. But if you don't practice your piano, which nobody likes, I don't really know any kids that like practicing piano. If you don't actually practice it and work at it, you know, that God-given ability isn't going to go very far. Eventually it'll, and I think with sports it's the same, and I think with life it's the same, and I think with parenting it's the same. It's the hard work that produces results. And so what's the hard work? I call it kind of the drills, and this to me is the key. And so you can put that slide up there. These poor guys, how many emails did I send you? Four different emails with four different things on them because I was just all over the place. But yeah, this is it. So the greatest gift you can give your kids, I will stand by this, is your personal relationship with Christ. There's no magic trick for that. It's hard work. And don't we live in a world that wants to take shortcuts? I just recently re-entered the workforce, and I am not trying to slam your generation in any way, but I'll tell you, there is no work ethic today. It is nothing for kids to call in, oh, I can't make it, and there's no reason for it. And I just didn't grow up like that, so like I'm old now. I'm like 50 and just started working. I didn't work my whole life, basically, since we've been in the States. So it's just kind of shocking for me. Like, I feel like, where have I been? I must have been in a cave. I kind of was. I was kind of in my little cave bubble, pastor's wife thing. And then I crawled out of hibernation, and I'm like, wow. And even this whole thing in the schools where you give every kid an award. So, you know, I don't really want to give necessarily my opinion on that, but I just believe that teaching kids that you don't have to work and you still get the reward is really dangerous. There's a lot of things, and I'm not into hurting kids' feelings, don't get me wrong, but let's find another way to do this. Because the truth is, in everything in life, hard work produces the results. And no one's going to come along with like a magic wand and just tap you on the head and ding, you have a great relationship with God. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't even think about him during the week. But ding, you can come to church and you're just, I'll tell you what, it is hard work. It is sacrifice. I'm just telling you that. If no one's ever told you that, when you become a Christian, it's not all, whoo, like everything's easy breezy. In fact, I almost think it gets harder because you're swimming upstream. You're living countercultural when you become a Christian. That's what Jesus did. I mean, like everything. And I feel it getting stronger and stronger, that wave of the world and their views just pushing up against the truth. It is hard work. Have you ever watched those videos of those salmon swimming upstream? Like, how do they do that? No wonder they die when they get to the end because, you know. So anyway, your personal relationship with God. If a mom said, just give me the number one thing, that's it. That is it. And then these other things are kind of underneath that a little bit, as far as like they fall into the same category. Praying. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Oh, that our Bible colleges got a hold of that. Prayer is hard work. There's Sunday nights. I don't feel like coming in here, Benita. And we come in and there's three people. Right? But I got to get my eyes on the unseen. Right? These are the drills. We can't live by our emotions, what we feel like doing and don't feel like doing. Because honestly, the enemy would have us in a place where we never pray. And that's where he wants us. I always say, Lord, let me be a woman gentle in spirit, but violent in prayer. If I'm going to be violent somewhere, it'll be in my prayer closet. It'll be in this sanctuary. It'll be out on the streets of this city, town. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. And I think when I was younger, like a teenager, I was like, really, how does that even happen? But I think the older I get, the more I know what that means, because almost every thought becomes a prayer. Like your whole life just kind of, you're in your car and it just naturally becomes a prayer. And I'll tell you, moms, that's the unseen hard work. But I tell my friends, it matters. It matters. The third thing, reading the word, and it's so important. I find so many people don't even know what the word says. And I'm not going to develop on that too much. I just can't encourage you enough, and I'm not perfect. There's times where it's like crazy busy, right? We have those seasons and you're just kind of like scrambling. Then I don't know, get a podcast or just do something so the word's going in you. Study it. Don't just read it and oh, there I read my two chapters today and I'm done. And oh, that we would have hearts that would just yearn to know the truth in God's word, so that when the voice of this world says something, we say, ah, but my God speaks a better word. That we can stand in the middle of our homes and we can just declare the word of God from his word. But if we're not reading it and we don't know it, then how can we do that? And the fourth thing I think that I've tried to teach my kids is to be outwardly focused, to be servants. It's unhealthy to be selfish. I think it leads to depression. I always tell people that are down, just go do something for somebody else for a while. Go down to City on a Hill and serve. I don't know. Go on a missions trip. Go do something. You know, my favorite quote is from Bill Johnson, to serve with the heart of a king and rule with the heart of a servant. And I love that. And those are the basic drills. That's the running up and down the court. That's the stand late after practice when everybody else has gone home. That's what's going to produce the results. Being in the best dance school isn't going to do that for my kid. Being popular isn't going to do that for my kid. I was thinking, you know, it didn't matter what Ryan was wearing, right? Like, I mean, some people might debate that a good pair of basketball shoes makes a difference. But you understand what I'm saying. In the end, it doesn't matter if it's a Nike or Adidas or Puma or I don't even know. I'm probably not even saying basketball shoe names. But, you know, if you aren't putting the time in practice, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. And I think it's the same for our kids. The problem today, I think, is that we're more concerned with trying to control all those external things and trying to set up the right shots for our kids, but we're not putting the work in. Right? I think another thing for Randy and I is that we didn't compromise. We had a daughter who was, let's call her creative. And I was going to put the slide up, but no, I don't have it. I didn't even send it to them. That would have been the fifth PowerPoint I sent you. Because, you know, I don't want to embarrass her. She's not here. So that narrows it down, doesn't it? You'll all know who it is the minute but that girl had every hair color. She, I mean, really, I think she had almost every hair color, and she'd do that where she shaved under here and then flipped all the rest over. And, you know, when we lived, I think it started when we lived in Hibbing. She went through this goth kind of stage. That's kind of scary for a mom to see your kid come down for breakfast, and they're all like, and the eyeliner, you know, is like, I mean, I lived in the 80s. I'm all for eyeliner. Let's be honest. It was the eyeliner decade. But, you know, just really, like, weird stuff going on around here. And part of the just mannerisms of that kind of, like, you kind of had to have the walk, too, that goes with it. And the clothes, like, dark and long kind of weird stuff. And the boots. And anyway, oh, Lord, help us. Yeah, we went through. So here's my point with that. And I don't think it was just out of denial to call it her creativity. I really think it was. because you know what? A little while later, she moved on to a different color eyeshadow and a different color hair. And I think she was just exploring. And I always thought she should have become a makeup artist or a hairdresser or something, because most of it she kind of just came up with herself. Parents, don't major on the minors. Does her hair really matter for eternity? No. It mattered more that we didn't crush her spirit. You know, sometimes our rules can do that, and that's part of trying to control the external. Just because it's not our personal preference, but then I look at pictures of me in the 80s and I'm like, I'm thankful for a youth pastor that didn't judge me and that loved me with the love of Christ, because I was a work in progress, let me tell you. Pick your battles. So if you'll turn to 1 Samuel 16. I love this story. I love that the story of the three kings, King Saul, David, and Absalom. So as I was like going through this message over the past few weeks, just praying on it, this story came to my mind right away. And we're going to start at verse 6. So they're trying to find the successor for Saul. And, just trying to pick. So it's man trying to pick another man to succeed the king. So let's go down to verse 6. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees." For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Remember that. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Always remember that. They went through every son. And finally, it's kind of like, well, do you have any more? Oh, yeah, well, we got the one out in the field. But, you know, the one out in the field was doing the things that are unseen. He was being faithful with his drills. He was being faithful with what God put before him, even though he wasn't in the limelight and people weren't talking about him and he wasn't making the three-pointers, right? Are you getting it? Like, it wasn't the fancy, flashy thing. He's like working with sheep. It was probably stinky and dirty and hot, but he was faithful with it. And I thought like of the disciples. And I know I've heard a lot of sermons where they say, well, you know, so most of the disciples were fishermen. There was a tax collector, and then there were a couple. They're not sure what they did. They think they were probably fishermen. And I've heard a lot of sermons that say, see, God chooses the unqualified. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, but God looks on the heart. Do you know how much perseverance it takes to be a fisherman? They were doing the drills. They were out there faithful. They were casting those nets time and time again. And that's what your prayers are. If you pray for something one time and it doesn't happen, you don't just throw your nets down. Do you see that they were developing? No one was saying, oh, you guys are awesome, standing on the shore when they came home with three fish that day. This was their livelihood. But, you know, they had something within them that said, no, we're going back out again tomorrow, and we're going to cast those nets. And, mamas, that's what your prayers are. You might not see it today, but be diligent in it, because it's what matters. And you know what? The enemy, his biggest lie today is trying to tell you through disappointment and discouragement, he's trying to distract you into saying it doesn't matter. Oh, your kids are preteens now. Go party. Go have fun, Mama. You deserve your time now. Oh, I'll tell you, I think our kids need us more when they become preteens than they did when they were little kids. I always say when they were little, it was mainly physical needs. Like you're drained. You know, the all-night throwing up thing, Brittany. It's physical needs that you don't like, that nobody sees, that no one's applauding you the next day. Way to stay up all night with your baby. Like nobody's doing that ever. And then they become teenagers, and it's emotional drain. Like, we had three girls. It is emotional draining, emotional, being spent emotionally. And some days where you're just like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And now being a parent of adults, I find it spiritually draining. Because you realize there is no more control anymore. They do not really want your opinion, and nor should we really give it, to be honest. They're not little kids anymore. They need to figure it out for themselves. But you can pray. You can cast those nets. Today there might be 3 fish. Tomorrow there could be 200. Right? So, to go back to the disciples, I actually think God was looking on the heart of those men and knew that they had what it would take to walk through persecution, to walk through everything that it would take for them to be Jesus' tribe. And I actually think in man's eyes they were unqualified, but in the unseen they were more than qualified. And that's what matters. I know sometimes, moms, that it feels like you're doing a lot of things in the unseen that aren't appreciated. And I would stand up and applaud you outside on your front porch if I could. I pray that I am forever an advocate of the unseen and encouraging that in women. And it really doesn't matter if you're a mom or not, because there's things that God will call you to in your job that will be unseen. And you might get passed up for that promotion. And when I put on that ugly red thing over there, it's a cape thing. No, it's not a cape. It's an apron. Say, Lord, I am doing this for you. I don't work for man. And just the other day, some little girl that works, well, she's not a little girl. I'm 50, remember that. She's a young adult. Stopped me while I was working and asked me a couple questions about God. Pretty awesome stuff. That's not me. I can't control the circumstances to produce that. But don't ever think what you do in your life doesn't matter. And I'll be honest, I don't go in there praying all the time, and I certainly don't preach to my coworkers. But I do pray to the Lord and pray, God, I'm doing this, but I'm doing this for you and you alone. And it actually changes your attitude too, which I need sometimes, attitude adjustment. It matters. It matters a lot. So we have a really big backyard. I'm almost done. We have a really big backyard, and part of our backyard is sloped, really sloped. So when you mow the lawn, I've done it before I had my license back. I used to beg him if I could mow the lawn because it was the closest to driving that I could get. Didn't I? Please, let me mow the lawn. I'll just pretend it's a car. That's a whole nother story why I didn't have my license. But anyway, it was nothing bad. It was, wow, I shouldn't have even mentioned that now. In hindsight. So you can't talk now because you talk about me when you preach, and now you just need to be quiet because I'm not trying to put you in your place, but this is a little story about you, so you need to just sit there quiet. So there's like a slope, right? So when you're mowing the lawn and you have to use a riding mower, and that alone takes like 2 hours or something like that. But anyway, like the thing is like this, like kind of dangerously on its side. And so my husband came up with this idea this year. I'm going to plant like a bunch of seeds and bulbs so that some wildflowers grow up there so that it just looks pretty and I don't have to mow anymore. Yeah, I think, did I make that clear? It's just that part where the slope is. Okay, if I didn't, I apologize. Not the whole yard. The whole yard is not, I don't think anybody thought that, honey. So just the part that slopes, he planted bulbs and seeds so that pretty flowers would blossom up and he doesn't have to mow anymore. And I think it's a beautiful idea and quite artistic for a male. So I'm standing at the sink and I'm watching him out there, you know, with this thing, poking it down and putting the bulbs down and all that. So that happened like a while ago. He did that a while ago. And then a couple, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was maybe 5 days later. I see him out there, you know, our St. Bernard going nuts all around his feet. She loves him. And he's looking, and he's walking along, and I guess I'm at the sink a lot, because I was at the sink, and I was watching him, and so I asked him, so what were you doing? And well, I'm looking to see if anything's shooting up yet. Bulbs. Did I mention bulbs and seeds? And you know the kind of spring we've had. It's been a little on the cooler side, right? So anyway, I think it's a wonderful idea. So, you know, he's out there in the wind and the rain, and he's planting this and going out there and checking. And then I was out there the other day and thought I saw something. I was so excited. I saw these little green sprouts of leaves coming up. So I asked him, hey, there's stuff growing. It worked. And I showed him, and he's like, that's where I planted plants. Like they were like that when he put them in the ground. I didn't know that. And then he's like, and look at all those holes. Something went in there and dug those bulbs up. So there's holes where some of the bulbs were, and I think squirrels probably went in there, took those. So, you know, you do a lot of work for nothing, and you're just waiting. And I was thinking how much like a mama's prayers that is. Because you just plant those things and you want the results like in 5 days or 2 hours sometimes. I'm like the most impatient person. I think I've always been, and I thought maybe I was getting better, but sometimes the Lord reminds me not so much. And sometimes the enemy digs those things up, like actually uproots them. And what I mean by that is he robs your faith even for it anymore. Like, I'm just so tired. Like, I just don't even have the strength to replant this stupid thing. But do it. Because you might not see the harvest tomorrow. We might not even see it next spring, but I promise you, one day it's going to be beautiful. Because that's my God. He's faithful. And if the enemy has tried to tell any of your mamas that he's not, I'm telling you today that he is, and that's what his word says, and I stand on it. He is faithful. And I remember days of people laughing at me because I didn't allow my kids to participate in certain events at school. Because we didn't allow certain movies in our house. I'm talking Christians. And I remembered, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And not in an arrogant way, but I'll have the last laugh. I might not have seen it at 6 or 7 or 8. Put that last picture up. So I just took this. Yes, I was peeking during prayer. I just took this at dinner on Friday night when we were celebrating Sydney's graduation from college. And I love this picture. I'm going to get it printed and put in a frame because that's the harvest. And I say, laugh at me all you want. Randy and I put our relationship with Jesus number one. And the seeds are planted in prayer. And we are seeing a beautiful harvest. And I'll tell you, there were some days where it was questionable. We had a daughter who maybe dated someone. We were just like, Lord. But what I panic, because, you know, I'm a woman. I thank God for my husband who just said, no. Let it ride. Let's get on our knees. Let it ride. Parent with grace. Rules don't fix things. We cannot control the external to change the internal. And we're not done by the grace of God. I promise you. We take no credit. This is a beautiful work of God. And if any of you parents think that your relationship with Jesus does not matter to the next generation, I tell you that's a lie. That you're fellowshipping with other believers and your church attendance doesn't matter to the next generation, it does. That your prayers don't matter to the next generation, it does. And it's hard work, and it's staying late after practice, and it's running those drills, and it's pushing aside the cares of this world and focusing on the things for eternity, the things that are unseen. Hallelujah. Andy Stanley, one of my favorite, I have a lot of favorite quotes, but your greatest contribution to the kingdom may not be what you did, but who you raised. That is the case with me. There are things that I will never see, but my children will. I believe it with all my heart that they will be the generation to usher in revival, that they will be the psalmists of the next generation in this corrupt world we live in, to stand for righteousness because the pattern was set and because the hard work was done and because my God is faithful. And I don't care who laughs. I will suffer the persecution for righteousness' sake.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.